Hey, good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence radio show here on Raglan Community Radio, and going over to our friends also, Free FM 89.0, going throughout the Waikato, and I'm a little bit late to here today here in Raglan. Folks, got chatting around on the street and that, and we've got our guest coming up pretty shortly. So Richard Barge is on this week, the chair of the New Zealand Hemp Industry Association, is going to be rejoining the show in around about 5 minutes or something like that. So I'll tee them up, and I'm going to put them on after the song, because the songs we're going to play this week are all from the best New Zealand albums as voted in Audio Culture stuff. And this one, Spellbound, off the Metal Notes, came in number 3. So here we are, Spellbound off the album. We'll come back straight after this with our guest for today.
We'll be right back.
of course, was Spellbound by Split Enz, the third-ranked New Zealand album of all time, according to Audio Culture. So, and now we're joined on the phone by our guest today, Richard Barge. Can you hear me okay, Richard?
Yeah, very well, thank you, Craig. Good to hear from you, and hello to all your listeners.
Thank you very much for rejoining the show, Richard. Appreciate it.
Oh, it'd be great to revisit the progress being made by the hemp industry, and it's a good news story whose time has come. So hopefully some of your listeners will be involved in it in the future.
Yes. I had listened back to the last interview you did, and it was pretty much exactly a year ago, Richard. And at that stage, you were halfway through doing a national tour. But we'll start anyway. You've been at the Field Days last, 3 or 4 days, something like that, Richard?
Yep, all of last week. We were in the Organic Ag tent again this year. It was great to be there, and we had a few extra posters provided to us by the Hemp Foundation, which allowed us to demonstrate a few more of the health uses for industrial hemp, being the cannabinoids, terpenes and flavonoids, which is an exciting market that is represented by the horticultural industry, which is slightly different to the food and fibre being more of an arable industry. So if you have time, I'd like to unpack that with you.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And I suppose, was Bill Quinn there again this year? He'd be almost your neighbour, wouldn't he, over there, Pyro Ways?
He was, yeah, from Hikitaia. Yes, he's the legend that is Bill Quinn in the Organic Ag. He was kind enough to allow us to come in under his banner again this year. He had the big screens advertising all manner of organic product, and it's just a really interesting tent to spend some time in. There's lots of information. Some of the posters were from 1980s and things like that, and showing the New Zealand Soil and Health magazine, and the same bullet points on the front cover of the magazines back in 1979-82 are the same bullet points we're facing now.
Far out.
It's incredible.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Now, I've had Bill on the show a couple of times. Lovely fella. Interesting guy to talk to.
Right, yeah, busy unit. He's just racing around at the moment doing his spreading the word on Organic Ag, yeah.
Okay, so, and a bit of interest from the punters there in the New Zealand Hemp Industry Association, Richard?
Yeah, there was some positive interest. We were promoting a hemp seed cake product, and that was well received because people are starting to think about their nutrition and how health can be improved by having, you know, full functional foods and inputting those into their daily diet. So that was really exciting. There's still a branding issue. We've still got a problem in the sense that many people see hemp, make the connection cannabis, and the next word out of their mouth is bad. So, you know, we do have an opportunity to really tell our story better, to engage with the community and try and overcome that stigma of our relationship with our illicit cousin.
Yes, indeed. Okay, well, so it's worth your while in anyway going to the Field Days, by the sounds of it.
Oh, for sure. There's always some gem conversations, finding new organic growers for the supply chain, finding people interested in using some of the byproducts from the current industry in there as a soil conditioner or additive. So, yeah, there's always some great conversations. And just raising awareness to try and help people to overcome that stigma is something that the industry in general needs to do. But I think that'll happen when people can start seeing and feeling the products, like on the display table for the New Zealand Hemp Industries Association area. There was a lot of, for example, a brick made from hempcrete. And when people can lift that up, it really makes sense to them, and they can understand how that comes from the inner woody part of the stem that we call the herd, mixing it with a lime binder and water. And so that's quite exciting when people can realise, oh, that's the hemp product, that's a construction material. Oh, I see how that's going to help with, renovating current housing stock or building new houses. And there's some exciting hemp things happening in the whole tech space around that. The lime binder, for example, is being produced now in New Zealand.
Right.
It's going through the certification process. So it's great to have local production, which is following the creation of the industrial hemp processing plant down in Christchurch. It's producing the herd for that hempcrete material. So, you know, things are coming together. it's really, we're still in that chicken and egg of breaking through on the scaling of the industry, and there's going to have to be a lot more investment in that primary processing step, because of course if you're growing in the Waikato, you don't want to be sending your stems and bales down to Christchurch to be further processed. So that's the sort of thing that keeps us excited about the industry, because of that potential, and that's something that we're trying to highlight at the summit coming up this year in Christchurch.
Yes, that's the 24th and 25th of August down Christchurch there. And how long's that plant been up and going down Christchurch? Because, yeah, listen back to the last show. The last time I was talking to you, it was just in the motion of sort of setting all these things up, a bit more processing and manufacturing here in Aotearoa.
That's correct, yeah. It came over in COVID, so they couldn't bring over the engineers to help them, but luckily they had a lot of expertise in the wool fibre processing, so some of that translated, and obviously had some talented engineers to get it all up and working.
Right on.
And they got pretty up and running pretty quick. You know, they could clean the fibre down to 90% clean, and then the next sort of 5% takes a bit more dialing in the machine, and then that last 5% is really the is very hard to achieve, and therefore comes at an expense. But they're operating to such a degree now that they can provide the best fibre in bales, and that's being used for geotextiles, and the bales of the hemp herd are being used in this construction site, because there's a few projects going on in Queenstown, for example, and in Northland, and also as a horse or animal bedding. So it got really up and running around that time of the tour last year, the iHemp tour. So about, they've been going for just over a year now, and they've got a new CEO in there, and very exciting, because of course there's lots of people interested in using that fiber. Like there's a product, Street Dog, which is a electric motorcycle manufacturer based in Wellington, who uses the fiber to make some of the components in their bikes. So the more raw material, again, that we can supply locally, the more interest people will have in using it in their business plans. And really, it's all about those end users coming to the summit in Christchurch, as you mentioned, this year, on 24th, 25th of August, to learn about the supply chain and see where they can fit in, because we need those end users to create that demand. You know, and then we can really get stuck into, you know, growing the industry from a farming point of view, because, you know, growing it's not the problem. It's who am I going to sell it to, and how much am I going to get paid? The classic questions from a farmer.
Yeah. No, it's about the bottom line after all, I guess, isn't it? But and so the bricks that you have the field days, they're made down Christchurch?
No, those bricks were manufactured by the Doug Starrick, who is GeoBind up in Northland, who's producing the binder. And he's just actually put a demonstration wall in the children's garden at the Botanical Gardens in Manuera, just south of Auckland. Botanical gardens are a wonderful place to go, especially for the family, but they have this sort of place in the children's area where they do demonstrations of new technology and new innovation, and they had the local children, students from the tech come out and were tapping it down. So they've created a wall there that you can actually see and feel and touch. He's hoping to do a building project up north, and there's some real interest, particularly from iwi, in scaling that. You know, the idea of growing your own home really resonates with some of the land trusts that could be looking at industrial hemp as an alternate land use.
Wow, yeah. I mean, it's such an opportunity, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And we haven't even sort of talked about the food, which, you know, obviously is mainly from the hemp seed, although the leaf and the flower and top are definitely something that we should be considering in our diet, because of the, you know, they're again a functional food, but moving away from just the nutritional aspects of essential fatty acids and amino acids which are contained in the seed, you're now looking at those cannabinoids, flavonoids and terpenes, which add another level of functional food, is because of their interrelationship with the endocannabinoid system in the human body. So really exciting, and we really want to get that conversation about the health industry moving forward, because I feel that, you know, talking about growing horticultural crops, you know, individual plant husbandry, growing Christmas trees so you can get those leaf and the flowering tops. It means that we're growing female plants, so we don't have this natural conflict of introducing pollen into areas where they have an illicit market who don't want to have industrial hemp anywhere near them because of the problems associated with the pollen from industrial hemp. But if it's grown in a horticultural way, those areas could really embrace a health and wellness industry without the massive barriers of entry that the fibre industry, for example, has, where you need $1 million sort of processing machine. Not all processing machines are that expensive, but it's you know, an opportunity that really exists, and it's a conversation that we need to encourage people to have, because it could really work in some of those areas with great grower-degree days, which are the East Cape, Northland, top of the South Island, Coromandel to a certain degree. But I'm sure the people out in Ragland that know how to grow their illicit crops would be interested in something like a horticultural industry as well.
For sure, yeah. I'm not sure a lot of people would be right around the country, right? You know, they're already experts in growing, you know, a cousin of the crop, right, you know?
Yeah, many of them, you know, it's a natural, you know, they're currently doing it from an economic point of view, and it's just their, you know, normal routine. But for many of them, it would be an opportunity to be celebrated as the talented grower that they are.
Yeah.
You know, and these people could become, you know, all sorts of soil scientists and bug scientists and all sorts of things, given the chance. So that's a really interesting area. And, of course, just going back to that decortication process, I should also acknowledge that there's another smaller-scale decorticator, which is the name of the term we use for splitting those stems into the bass fibre and the herd.
Yeah.
And that smaller-scale operation has been brought in by a company, Hemp Central, down in Cromwell.
Right.
This unit is just the hammer action part of the processing line, the decortication part of the line, and that's in a 40-foot container. So that's a lot cheaper and quicker to establish. And of course, it relates to how much area you need to grow where your processing facility is. The more money you spend, the more area you'll need to cultivate. So it's really interesting to see these markets develop for the fibre and the herd, along with our seed, and hopefully, as I mentioned, the health product as well.
Yeah, I mean, on the fibre alone, right? I mean, there's, you know, they grow way quicker than trees, that's for sure, and, you know, and so, and every year you can just bang, bang, bang. I mean, what would it be, a few months in the ground before you get a per plant, would it be?
Yeah, 90 to 120 days.
Gee, that's right.
For fibre versus the food from the seed. And it's, as you pointed out, in rotation, similar to maize, that's grown over the summer period, and it's just great in rotation. Again, we need more foundational knowledge to find out, you know, the beneficial effects on the follow-on crop. Did it lift some of the pesky nematodes for the potato crop that followed it and things like that? So we need a lot more science in that space, which is quite exciting.
Yeah.
And quite a lot of conversations around CO2. And you know, we've been talking about, you know, the phytoremediation elements of growing it, which, you know, lifting heavy metals and create, you know, depolluting and conditioning soils and things. But, yeah, the CO2 question is very much something on people's minds, and that might be something of interest to a farmer for these annual crops. And the bonus is that they can use it for two-thirds of the year for other applications as well as an alternative.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, and like I say, there's a. I think last time we were talking, you were looking into as well whether, or there was a little bit of research, that's right, going on in Australia, trials with you know, hemp growing near animals. Is there any feedback from those ones yet?
Yes, so they've all come back pretty positive for both cattle, cows, chickens, pigs. So worldwide, there's been quite a lot of work in that space, even in the last year. This is one of the most studied plants, not just from a medicinal point of view, but because of this issue with animal foods, it's really becoming important to provide that scientific evidence. That's starting to be accumulated. So it's really exciting for that because, of course, you know, the whole plant, that full plant utilization is something that we really strongly incentivized to achieve because we want to be part of that circular economy, but also the economics work if we have the revenue streams from all parts of the plant. And, of course, the byproduct from the seed food industry is something that is useful in that animal food market. And it's just really unfortunate that we have currently have a situation where we can't access that market. And so we need to be working with the good folk at MPI and their Agricultural Compounds Veterinary Medicines, ACVM, department, which is under their food umbrella. So, you know, we've got lines of communication with them. We're hoping to get a bit more traction as we go forward and really break this impasse. But, you know, these are real risks that they're wanting to avoid. And those risks involve perceived risks that CBD or THC metabolites will remain in milk and meat products in sensitive export markets. And so, you know, that's controlled drug is the THC, the prescription medicine CBD. And if you go to Singapore, for example, who have a zero tolerance for THC, you know, if they heard that Fonterra was feeding their plant, their cows hemp, then there might be a pushback on the market. And of course, you know, we don't want to bring Fonterra to its knees, so you know, it will lose a market share. So it's definitely something we need to work on. But it's you know, something, again, you know, getting these into our humans to keep us healthy. Same thing applies to the animals. You know, we could have a really healthy animals, thus requiring less antibiotics, you know, saving money. And it's a similar approach to the where we started this conversation in the organic side. You know, organic animals are often healthier, so they need less costs involved in that. So it sort of makes sense, but just because it makes sense doesn't mean it gets done quickly.
Yeah, quite right. Yeah, I'd imagine that, yeah, it'll move pretty slowly through the big bureaucracies down the capital.
Well, yes, but we've got to keep, you know, pushing that information in there. We're working on a couple of documents to try and target some of the higher level, you know, the senior managers, so they're aware of the situation. And then when they brief their incoming ministers, whichever team we end up with the election, hopefully we can get some traction quickly after that, because in a month or two's time it will be all stopped while they go into election mode. So
yeah,
looking forward to working with whoever the new people are, but everybody's interested in moving forward. You know, New Zealand is a economic opportunity, and industrial hemp is just part of that, and we feel that we can add value to that New Zealand Inc. story, you know, and enhance our food reputation, for example, but also, you know, the rebuilding or renovating our housing stock. People need to be living in healthy homes with no mold, and that can be achieved by using hempcrete and hemp building materials. So the quicker we can get those end-using industries, those supply building materials companies, to get involved and realise that they can use industrial hemp fibre as a raw material or seed as an ingredient in their food products, the quicker we can help scale the industry. So if you can get those people along to the summit this year down in Christchurch, that'd be great. The early bird pricing, unfortunately, is just finished, but if you send me an email, I'll arrange for your listeners to get an early bird pricing.
All right. Yeah, well, you heard it here, listeners. Yep, Richard's going to hook you up with an early bird price. thanks there, Richard. And also, yeah, speaking of paperwork, the Callaghan did a white paper, the Research Institute, Callaghan Research Institute did a white paper on research and development and full plant utilisation. I had a little look at it before the show today, and it's quite exciting again, Richard, isn't it?
For sure. Now, what that was a BPA, a Bioprocessing Alliance funded project, and so Bioprocessing Alliance are very much interested in the waste products or the byproducts, and we would prefer to call them as products because, you know, we talked about the hemp seed cake, for example. Well, we've created a product, you know, that's now an organic hemp seed cake. It's available to buy for you to bake with.
Yeah.
It can also be used as a soil ingredient. So they broke that industry down. Medicinal industry was involved. The hemp industry was involved. And we were looking at those streams after the primary processing. So what can we do with the hemp seed cake or the hulls after they've been de-hulled and created the hemp hearts and things? And it was really interesting to see the involvement of the Crown Research Institutes, Plant and Food, Ag Research and Sime particularly involved in that, because they've got an interest in the circular economy. So it's highlighted many areas of potential interest, and the document itself was really well referenced. So yeah, anybody that's interested in the hemp industry could look at that, look at those references and see business plans galore just staring out at them if they did some more research. And so they had a meeting in Christchurch on the 20th of April to a workshop, just a short workshop, but it looked at some of those ideas and trying to encourage the industry to work with these R&D, the R&D community to move these industries forward. So that's our challenge now, is now that we've identified, you know, there's probably 40 or 50 areas of interest in the leaf, the flowering tops, and the roots, the herd and the fibre and the seed. All these areas of interest could lead to potential products with export potential, and also the tech required to process them has export potential. So anybody involved in that, now's the time to really get in there, because there's huge potential there to make a return, but it's going to have to be over the long term. And to see that circular economy develop as we scale is going to be, you know, a real boom for the industry, because we'll be celebrated as one of those you know, industries that can is walking the talk as well as doing the work and achieving great outcomes for our consumers.
Yeah, and it's becoming increasingly more important, the circular economy, like you talk about, you know, in lots of different areas and aspects of business now, really, isn't it, you know?
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, as we move away, as I said to people at the field days, Henry Ford nailed it when he said, whatever you can make out of hydrocarbons, you can make out of carbohydrates. So, you know, we knew how to do it back then. We know how to do it now. It's just a matter of, you know, they've had 150 years of scaling around fossil fuels. We need to do the same things around agricultural raw materials that are being produced at scale in New Zealand. Forestry is an example. But when we can get into there and get these biorefineries really happening, you know, and can crack out all those chemicals that are required by industry, then we can really make a difference. And some of these chemicals can be worth, you know, good amounts of money. So the technology involved in working with them and extracting them and how we can work together as primary industries, you know, whether it be kiwi fruit and you know, the fruit that doesn't make the export grade, that sort of thing. You know, these are all inputs into this new circular economy. So it's a really exciting time, and there's some real considerable benefits that people just haven't heard about because they're not sort of joined up. You know, the people are now starting to feed, for example, kiwi fruit to cattle, and you know, they're getting good results. So, you know, there's something that's happening. So people have just got to be a little bit more open-minded and seek out some of these collaborations and start working together to make it happen. And that's the exciting thing about the hemp industry, because we're across so many different sectors that we may be able to help join up some of those conversations and get people working in that collaborative space a little bit more, which is an exciting outcome for rural New Zealand all the way through the value chain to the consumers.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And so what can people expect down at the summit, Richard? On the 24th and 25th of August, this is, folks.
Okay, so if they can check it out at www.hempsummit.nz, we'll have 2 days of full-on conference experience with some international speakers covering a range of topics. We've listened to our feedback from previous summits that we've done. This is our third one. And a lot of that was about we need more time to, you know, to integrate with other people and to interact and learn more, some more questions and answers. The theme for this one is taking action. So we would like to see people, you know, form groups that are looking at that R&D opportunity or looking at that business plan and really move them forward. We're hoping to do a factory visit on the Wednesday before, and there'll be a welcome event on the Wednesday night and a summit dinner that's all included in the price on the Thursday night. So there'll be some great opportunities to network, and if we can get those end users at the conference, they can really understand, oh my gosh, this is a great raw material, it's sustainable, it meets our requirements as far as, you know, what the consumers want us to be involved in, and because of the inherent qualities of the fibre, or the seed or the health product, this must get into their business plan. So some really exciting times. We'll have a lot of researchers traditionally come to our summit, that R&D ecosystem. A lot of farmers, of course, knowing, and there'll be plenty of talk about how to farm and process and harvest the hemp plants, especially from our overseas speakers, and some celebrations of some innovative products. So it'll be a must-do for those that are coming, that are interested in the hemp industry. And as I said, the early bird's closed, but we will be announcing shortly a buy three, get a fourth ticket free. So you can either email me, admin@hempsummit, or admin@nzhia.com, and we can organise a discount for you, or take advantage of that when we start announcing it. But that buy three, get the fourth one free. So that promotion is happening via our distribution list at the moment. So we're hoping to get it out there and share with other networks. So if you would like some collateral to share with your network, please get in touch, and we can provide you with some information to pass on. And because the more people that are aware of hemp, of course, the better the opportunities will be for the whole industry. And we put on those summits to celebrate some of the innovation that's happened and to encourage people to get together and look at that collaborative approach.
Well, for only one short year since you were last on the show, there's been a lot happening. There's a lot of action in the hemp industry. All right, Richard, isn't there?
Oh, for sure. Well, that's the dynamic nature of the people involved as well. You know, they've got some really interesting plans, and it's surprising who's talking about industrial hemp, you know, around the boardroom or around the workshop dinner table and things. You know, there's a lot of interest because it is a good news story and it meets those values that people, the consumers have now. They want to, they want to know where their product comes from, and they want to know it's from a sustainable resource and things like that. So it's ideas like annual crops and hemp is a really good example of that, that can go a long way in those spaces. So hopefully there's some real interest, and because we need to scale, we need to get out of this chicken and egg situation. You know, it's all well and good for us to say in 10 years time people look back and say, what was all the fuss about? But right now it is quite difficult because continuity of supply is a big issue. You know, making it worthwhile for the farmer to carry on growing it means it's quite expensive to produce the product. So do our consumers need to be willing to subsidize that a little bit, and things like that? So it's an interesting time in the industry for sure.
Yeah, no, sounds it all right now. There's a lot going on. And we haven't really talked about how, hemp, you mentioned it, in the last chat we had, how hemp has sort of been, there was research going on as to how it draws heavy metals up out of the soil as well. And
yes, that's that phytoremediation aspect. So we need New Zealand-specific knowledge. We need foundational knowledge within the industry, because that could be something that attracts a farmer. You know, it might be their riparian planting. We don't like wet feet, so put flax along the waterways, so put us a little bit inland. But if we could stop that leaching nitrates because we like nitrogen in our growing cycle, how do we fit into rotation? What's the, how best to grow it and that sort of thing? Lifting heavy, DDT and some of the, some of the chemicals being spread under orchards and things, how does it fit in? We'll probably have an interesting conversation, hopefully, at this year's summit around one of our member businesses has been growing hemp in the interrows and vineyards. And,
right.
Because they don't have to mow, they're saving money, they can mulch it back, it's bringing in beneficial insects and all this sort of thing. Now, these are all great reasons to grow industrial hemp. So, what's putting people off? And that's the compliance and the applying for a license and things like that. So we need to get onto those aspects as well to make sure that it's workable for our farmers who want to just treat it as just another arable crop. So there's more and more conversations that we need with the Ministry of Health, with our new people doing the administration of the regulations. MPI is very engaged. All our research institutes are very engaged. What we learned from the tour last year was the amount of interest from economic development agencies in the regions is massive. And it's all complemented by those universities and Crown Research Institutes and other research providers that are just chomping at the bit to get involved in the industry. But what it all lacks is industry dollars, because with industry dollars you can leverage, you know, things like the SFFF at MPI to fund this sort of research. But, you know, we need some industry dollars to begin with. So, yeah, back to that chicken and egg, that catch-22. It's an uncomfortable place to be in.
Yeah,
but if we can overgrow that, we can really make a difference in the future.
Well, sounds like it's all heading in the right direction to me, anyway, Richard. You know, having good, enthusiastic, passionate guy behind it like yourself too will drive it along well, no doubt.
Mm. Oh, and there's plenty of other people as well, Craig, that are, you know, equally as passionate, equally as knowledgeable, really getting things done. At the field days, I bought a lovely hemp merino jumper from hemp merino out down in Christchurch, which was a blend of obviously merino wool and hemp fibre. Uh-huh. In the yarn. So that was very lovely to wear, lovely comfortable garment. That's beanies as well. So there's lots of innovation going on, and we need to celebrate that. But equally, as consumers, we need you to vote with your dollar. You know, look for these hemp foods. Get those hemp seed oil in your diet, because it's going to help with your, you know, if you're a bit older, maybe arthritis, it's going to help with your sports injury, you know, just because you're going to be healthy and the oils are going to lubricate it from the inside out. So, you know, look for the hemp seed cake that we're promoting. We're hoping to get a whole lot of people at all the markets to represent the hemp seed cake. Find out new uses for it. You know, it makes wonderful crackers, or put it in your smoothie and things, and share that knowledge. So there's lots that we can all do, but if the consumers can really support the industry, that would make it a lot easier to attract more people and create some cash flow that can then be reinvested in the industry.
Yeah, oh man, there's so many uses for the plant, like you say, from the roots right to the tips, right? It just sounds like a wonderful product that can be put to such great uses, so many diverse uses.
For sure, and that's both the challenge and a bit of a hurdle, because we've got too many points and not enough penetration. Where do we start? What are the products that can help us scale? And that's where the hempcrete and the insulation materials, the building materials, really come in, because if they could get traction in that building supplies market, which is an example of, you know, we need resilience in some of our value chains, building materials is a good example with Ms. Jib, then that can really help scale us, because suddenly then you would have a bankable business plan to take to an investor and say, okay, well, look, if you put in a $5 million processing plant, you're going to need 500 hectares around you. So the farmers are willing to do it. Maybe they form the cooperative to fund it, and it's a bankable business plan, because you know what the outputs are going to be worth. And then you can start really, you know, making a difference, because healthy homes lead to healthy people and less pressure on the health system. Same with nutrition. So it's right there for us, but how to really manage that and get it to happen. And enthusiastic people are great, but they've got to be accompanied by, you know, the entrepreneurs and the business people that are, and the farmers that are really going to make it happen. So hopefully with conversations like this, people can hear and understand a little bit more about the industry and realize that it's not marijuana, and that it's actually a really interesting, you know, seed and natural fiber product, and it has these health and wellness aspects, and start doing some work themselves and investigating it, and then come and talk to the association, join the association. That'll be great. There's a membership body. We're always looking for new members to fund our endeavours and get involved in the industry. And I think, you know, the more products that we can have out there, Craig, the more people will see it and start getting it into their life. I mean, you know, how many people have a hemp shirt? Not many, but how many people that have a hemp shirt love their shirt? You know, it's their favourite shirt, and clothes that wear in that don't wear out, and comfortable, warm in the winter, cool in the summer, all those sort of things. So once people realise that, they'll be willing to buy the shirt and, you know, or invest this in the shirt. I mean, the hemp merino jumper that I just bought, I was explaining, it's my new favourite garment. It really is.
Good on you, Richard. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks yet again for coming back on the show, Richard. Really appreciate it. And, this, of course, will go as a podcast when the show finishes. And I'll send it through to you So you can bang it up and use it however you will with this interview, Richard. And if people want to find out more, you can go on nzhia.com, right? And about the conference, the hemp coming up on the 24th, 25th of August. And how do people get tickets for that?
www.hempsummit.nz.
Hempsummit.nz. All right. Any other avenues people can get a hold of you or look at more sort of hemp products, Richard?
Oh, for sure. Google hemp products. There's some great people doing some wonderful things in New Zealand. But if you want to know some more information, please feel free to email me at admin@nzhia.com or admin@hempsummit.nz. And myself or somebody from our comms team will get back to you, and we can put you in touch with the people you're interested in and invite you down to the summit in Christchurch, because it'll be a wonderful opportunity to really get involved in the network and see where your place lies, because we'll be discussing the gaps in the value chain, and we need to plug those gaps, and that's exactly where we need your expertise and your abilities.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks very much, Richard, and I might even get back on after the conference, and just we can have another little chat about as to how it went, and continue on this corridor. It's a good one. I like it. Thank you very much yet again for coming on, Richard. Appreciate it.
Okay, great. Just let us know. We're happy to talk about him whenever you can.
Fantastic. All right. Appreciate that, Richard. Have a good one, and I'll try to get myself down to that conference, I think.
Wonderful. Let me know. We'll give you an early bird price.
All right. Fantastic. All right. And that goes for you too, listeners. Remember, Richard's just tell him, tell him you heard it on here. Early bird price.
Roger that.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks very much, Richard.
Okay. Thank you for your time, Greg.
Cheers.
Much appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, folks, that was Richard Barge there, the chair of the New Zealand Hemp Industry Association. Man, there's a lot going on in the hemp world, isn't there? And I just got a message from station manager Aaron Moore on the phone. Right now, there's a big leak on the main road, water leak. And we've got a ring in the studio just when I got here, actually, by a lady on Bayview Road, I think it was, who's got no water. So that's probably why. So if you haven't got any water at your house or whatever, it's probably because of this. Yeah, there's a main road. He sent me a little picture, and it's just water gushing down the road kind of thing. So, no doubt someone will be, if they're not there already, on their way out to fix that up or something like that. So, yeah, it's a little announcement. So, all right, what I'm going to do now, like I said earlier, I'm playing stuff off the Audio Culture's top New Zealand albums, sort of as voted by their fans list. And the next one I'm going to play for you is Effloresce and Dali-esque. By The Chills, off their Magnificent Submarine Bells album, which came in at number 10. So here it is. We'll be right back.
whispers frightening, lies are flying, silence boiling, overreacting, see them trying, counteracting, changes in each other, rival forces, force them higher, tears are scolding, anger flows like fire, the forest and the she looks for the nerves, he breaks down, and when she goes slowly, ice and salt, the referee's and delicate, he is wearing in which she is too bad, and our neighbors don't.
All right, folks, there's Chills there with Efflores and Deliquesse off the Submarine Bells album, which came in at number 10 out of the New Zealand albums. And I've got a couple of public service announcements now. One of them is I was just up at the community house here in Whangaroa Raglan and putting on a beautiful kai up there. Thank you very much. Koha kai, a couple of soups and some beautiful rawana bread. If you can still get the radio on there, I hope it's going right up there, folks. And I was talking to Denise up there. And the New Zealand Tree Crops Association having a tree and plant sale happening at the Hamilton Gardens on the 1st of July from 9 to 1 o'clock at Gate 2, Hamilton Gardens and Camellia Car Park up there on 1st of July, 9 to 1. New Zealand Tree Crops Association having a sale of and they got lots of stuff. I managed to jot a few things there. Nut trees, macadamias, plums, peaches, dahlias, Mexican sunflowers, herbs, medicinal plants, and the Raglan Horticulture Society, a few of them going along. And a few local growers are going to be selling stuff too, like Chloe Hartstone will be selling some plants and things like that. So that's 1st of July, 9 to 1. So get along to that one, folks, at the Hamilton Gardens, Gate 2, Camellia Car Park. And also want to announce the Whangaroa Talent Factory, which is coming up. Entries close Sunday, 25th of June. So that's the Sunday. So, yep, if you know anyone between, any tamariki between 13 and 18, get them to come along, yeah, singer, DJ, muso, whatever, MC, whatever, go along there and enter the Youth Music Showcase, the Whangaroa Talent Factory. So entries closed Sunday, 25th of June, and the actual day of the event is 8th of July, I think it is. I think it's 8th of July, so in the town hall there. So it was a great day last year, and I imagine it'll be the same again this year. So a few little public service announcements for you there, and I was a bit late on, so what I'll do is I'm going to come back, probably do some weather after this, probably, and next song I'm going to play for you is a Toy Love song called Swimming Pool. And Toy Love, their album called Toy Love, the band Toy Love, album Toy Love, was number 6 on the Audio Cultural Best New Zealand Albums list. And here's a Swimming Pool by Toy Love.
Because I really
this swimming pool there, boy, Toy Love, voted number 6 best New Zealand album ever on audio culture. And it's weather time now on the Over the Fence show here, and yes, indeed, tomorrow. Tomorrow evening at 2:57 a.m. Thursday is the winter solstice. Yes, yeah, coming right up just tomorrow. So it's going to be kind of the shortest day. And that's exciting. It's tomorrow, so a good time to make a new intention for the new year and things like that. Manifest something cool for yourself into the next year and things. And what else is happening? Well, it's a front moving into the far north today, bringing heavy rain. You're expecting a north-easterly airflow for the rest of New Zealand. And I think the east coast of the North Island is also going to get some rain today as well. There's a big low hanging out, spinning around a bit in the Tassie, just off kind of North Cape, basically. And so there's going to be a mix of sun and cloud and a few showers with Bay of Plenty over there. And Northland, East Northland's going to get some rain, probably heavy later on this morning, and it's going to come into Auckland later this evening or overnight, and it's going to move down here over the Waikato probably tomorrow. We're expecting a bit of rain, so there's what's happening there. And there's also an El Nino sort of, they think, maybe developing out in the Pacific, but it's nothing really much happening. El Nino building up out there, so which may come into effect in the next sort of few weeks, but it's just still building up at the moment, so just kind of watching it, really. And what else can I bring you? Not much, really. That'll probably do for the weather. We haven't got heaps on, but I will go and tell you that the sun rose at 7:37 this morning and will set at 5:09 this evening, and the length of visible light is 10 hours and 31 minutes. The actual day length is 9 hours and 32 minutes. And tomorrow will be 1 second shorter than it is today, because, of course, it's solstice tomorrow on Thursday. And the moon, the beautiful moon, is a waxing crescent moon, 12% illuminated at the moment. And it was a new moon, of course, just a few days ago. New moon in Gemini, and the full moon will be on the 3rd of July. So there's a bit of weather for you, a bit of a short sort of weather thing for you. And now I'm going to play a song called I Am a Rabbit by Proud Scum. And it's off an album called AK-79. It's like a punk album with a few different like punk bands, which was voted number 4 best album ever by audio culture listeners. And so here it is, Proud Scum, I Am a Rabbit. Here we are, Proud Scum there with I Am a Rabbit, off the AK-79 album, voted 4th best album on by audio culture listeners. And I'm going to go out with, it's pretty much the end of the show, folks, so I'm going to go play one more song. And this is The Gordons, who somewhere between 15th and 20th. It's quite hard to make out, but and I thought they'd be higher than that. Should definitely be a top 10er for me, but they were in the top 20 anyway. So have a great week, everybody. I'll be back next week. I think I'm interviewing the chair of New Zealand Pork next week, and so it'll be exciting. Just have a little see where that industry's at and whatever, but till then, ka kite, have a great week. Look after you. It's going to be a little bit of rain. I actually didn't get to that, did I? But yeah, it's going to be sort of rainy on and off. Pretty much, I think, sort of rain tomorrow and then sunny and or cloudy and sort of wet for most of the rest of the week. So pretty much sort of see what you get today is going to be the weather for the rest of the week. But yeah. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is the show. Apart from the song, The Gordons, Adults and Children. Have a great one. See ya.